Josh Haston here, Israel Uncensored, on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is Monday, the 19th of April, 2021, the 7th of ER 5781, coming to you this morning from Gush Etzion, Israel, Judea, just south of Jerusalem, the eternal capital of the Jewish people. Hope you're doing well. Hope you are safe in your part of the world. Don't forget, you can get in touch with me, Josh, at thelandofisrael.com on Facebook, Joshua Haston, or Josh Haston, Israel Advocacy and Journalism, on Twitter at Josh Haston, and on Instagram as well. Hope you all had a meaningful week. Last week, of course, we had Yom HaZikaron, Memorial Day, for all of those who gave their lives for the State of Israel, IDF soldiers, so that we can live as free men and women in the Jewish state. Hope you had a meaningful day. I certainly did. And then I hope you partied very hard on Yom HaAtzmaut, Independence Day, our 73rd Independence Day here in Israel in modern times. I had a great time. I got to explore parts of the Land of Israel. And then, of course, the mandatory barbecue out in a forest in near the Beit Shemesh area. It was beautiful. Hope you enjoyed, for all of those who celebrated Israel's 73rd independence. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm very, very upset. I'm very upset by some of the things going on in the world of news here in Israel. And that includes some of the images that I saw on the internet over the last 24, 48 hours. And specifically, I am referring to anti-Semitism. Now, normally, when you talk about anti-Semitism, you're talking about attacks against Jews on the streets of Berlin or Paris or New York or whatnot. But I'm talking about anti-Semitism here in the Land of Israel. And a lot of people fail to recognize or to call it what it is, to call these attacks against Jews anti-Semitism. Somehow Jew hatred and physical assaults and attempted murder and attacks against Jews, because it happens in the Land of Israel, some reason they don't, from what I understand, they are not included when people are making lists or putting together surveys of how people feel in their communities. Do you feel safe? Do you feel okay where you are and this and that? Somehow Israel gets left out. Now, I will say that, of course, we have a state and we have an army, and Israel is different than any other country in the world in the fact that we can actually defend ourselves as a people, as a nation, with a state, with an army, with a police force and all of that. But when Arabs in the streets single out Jews based on their appearance, they know they're Jews, and of course we're in Israel, and physically assault them, attack them, try to kill them, that's anti-Semitism. That is Jew hatred, regardless of the fact that it takes place here in Israel. And it's infuriating because of that fact, because we have a state and a country and an army. The fact that I see these incidents, and I'll describe them to you in a minute here from the news, it makes it that much more infuriating. So you had, first off, in Jerusalem, the Jewish press reports that young male Jerusalem Arabs appear to have started a new trend in the capital, similar to one that gained traction last year in Orthodox Jewish neighborhoods in New York. Within 72 hours, four Jewish men were attacked by young male Arabs. All the attacks took place in and around the Old City of Jerusalem. On Saturday night, a gang of young Arabs hurled rocks at Jewish people while they were walking on the sidewalk outside the walls of the Old City. The attack was subsequently posted to TikTok, the social media network, with a music bed featuring a male Arabic singer. As on videos posted by Arab terrorist organizations produced in hopes of frightening Israelis. That's the goal. Put together these videos showing Arabs smacking Jews across the face, taunting Jews, throwing rocks at Jews, putting a music bed behind it. And again, it looks like one of these Hamas videos that glorify terror and jihad. That's the image that goes up on TikTok. Saturday night, a second attack took place in the Old City. A group of young male Arabs knocking the hat off a young Jewish man as he was walking down the steps. kicking his hat further down the stairs before raising away laughing. Arrests have been made in Jerusalem. Police made arrests. One of the most disturbing images was this attack on an Orthodox Jewish man on the Jerusalem light rail. So that happened in Jerusalem. At the same time, the Jerusalem Post reports, and I saw these images also yesterday, the 60-year-old dean of the Hesder Yeshiva in Jaffa, Rabbi Eliyahu Mali, and one of his directors were violently assaulted in Jaffa on Sunday. And you can go online, unfortunately, and see these images. These are Jews in the state of Israel, in the land of Israel, who are being viciously attacked. And then the images are being posted as if it's funny on TikTok and other social media platforms. This is extremely infuriating for me to see Jews in the land of Israel being beaten up. And the last thing I would do is number one, I would not blame the victim. But I mean, we need some sort of, number one, obviously, those who are able to possess a firearm in order to defend themselves should carry a gun at all times. That's number one. For self-defense, of course. I'm not advocating anything crazy. Let's be clear. Self-defense purposes, number one. And number two, again, not blaming the victim here, but everyone should go through self-defense training. There is no excuse for Jews to be beat up anywhere in the world, and especially here in the land of Israel. Again, that's not blaming the victim. The real problem is that there is a lack of deterrence. There's a lack of deterrence which allows these Arabs to think that they can get away with smacking Jews in the face, beating up Jews, and getting a kick out of it, posting it on social media. Again, I said arrests were made, but there has to be a deterrence. These people need to know that if you are going to attack a Jew, and some of these came out, these took place in broad daylight. If you're going to attack a Jew, there's going to be a price to pay. Deterrence needs to be created, whether it's in these situations, whether it's the rock-throwing attacks, which take place daily in Judea and Samaria, and the firebomb attacks. These people need to know you cannot get away with trying to murder or attack Jews. And I hope I was clear there, not blaming the victim. But we need to learn to defend ourselves, folks. Okay, we don't have to accept this type of situation where these attacks take place and then we're either running away or cowering. That's not the Jewish way. That's not the way we deal with things here in the land of Israel, where we are strong, where we are the sovereign, where we have a police force and the army. We just celebrated our independence with amazing air shows featuring our Air Force helicopters and planes. And we have the state-of-the-art technology. We can defend ourselves. And that needs to cross over to the day-to-day on the streets of Jerusalem and Jaffa and any other areas where Arabs think that they can just get away with trying to frighten or hurt Jews in the streets of our cities. Not acceptable. And a deterrence has to be created by our security forces and has to start with the government. The government has to say enough. We're going to crack down on this. And we're not going to tolerate any TikTok, social media phenomena coming out. And let's put an end to it. Bottom line, let's put it into it right now. So that is the top story on my mind. I know it's not, you know, perhaps front page, but for me, that's front page in my book when Jews are being attacked here in the land of Israel. Another entity which wants to wipe Israel off the map is Iran. We talked about that in detail last week. The Jerusalem Post and Reuters reported yesterday talks to salvage the Iranian nuclear deal have advanced, Tehran reported on Saturday, as the International Atomic Energy Agency confirmed that Iran was enriching uranium to 60% fissile purity. And I'm not an expert on nuclear weaponry here. 60% purity. Iran is adamant that the U.S. must lift sanctions against it. So here you have Iran demanding that the U.S. Lift sanctions. And on the other hand, they're enriching uranium to 60%. Apparently, I guess it's 90%, which means they could produce a nuclear weapon. I just don't understand the Biden administration's thinking on this. Okay. In response to the fact that Iran announced they could enrich to 60%, President Biden on Friday spoke against their decision to increase uranium enrichment. He said, "We do not support and do not think it's at all helpful that Iran is saying it's going to move to enrich to 60%. If that's the case, President Biden, why ease sanctions? It just doesn't make any sense to me that they are continuing down a path towards, and hopefully what happened this past week at the uranium enrichment facility at Natanz set them back by months and months and months, which of course Tehran blaming Israel for. No formal comment from the Jewish state. But it makes no sense to me that as they are continuing down this path, that the Biden administration is insisting that they re-enter talks with Iran. I know indirect talks are already taking place. And to say, well, it's not really helpful that they're trying to achieve nuclear weapons. It's not helpful. How weak is that statement? It's not helpful right now. We want to lift sanctions, but it's really not helpful that they are breaking all the rules. So weak. Such a weak statement. At the end of the day, what you're going to turn around, God forbid Iran goes nuclear, and said, well, we released statements saying that we were against such a move. But at the same time, we continued negotiations with them. We continued to talk about lifting sanctions. It makes no sense whatsoever. Seth Franzman, my friend from the Jerusalem Post, had an analysis yesterday, and he summarizes, I think he does a great job of summarizing exactly what we're talking about here. He says the following. He says, Iran's use of nuclear enrichment is a kind of mafia approach to foreign policy. Do a deal with us, this is Iran talking, or we might burn down your business and start a war. Iran's response to the Trump administration showcased how flawed the deal was. We're talking about the 2015 deal, which Trump rightfully pulled out of. It showed that if Iran doesn't get everything it wants, it will enrich uranium to threaten the world. It will also conduct proxy warfare, of course, through Hezbollah, Hamas, and the other terror organizations. Since 2018, the other signatories of the deal have done nothing to stop Iran enriching uranium, illustrating that the Islamic Republic can do whatever it wants with or without the deal and without any consequences. So if they keep this bad deal, they'll get a nuclear weapon. It might take longer. And if there is no deal, then they're still going to enrich and they're still going to try to fulfill their goal of going nuclear. And the world is doing nothing. If Iran, he says it, if Iran doesn't get what it wants, it will continue to threaten the world. That is, as Seth says, that is mafia tactics. And the Biden administration is going along with it. And that is extremely frightening, not only for Israel, but for the entire world. Let's turn to politics here. Right now, Prime Minister Netanyahu is trying to form a coalition government. He has a little bit of time left. But it looks like we may be heading towards a fifth election if Netanyahu cannot form a government, if the next person who the president tasks to form a government, whether it's Naftali Bennett or Yair Lapid, if they can't form a government and the Knesset can't pick somebody who is able to form a government, fifth elections this, I don't know, October perhaps. Netanyahu the other day stating that the state of Israel needs a strong nationalist government, a stable right-wing government that will last 4 years. I call on Naftali Bennett, Bezalel Smotrich, and Gideon Sar to put all considerations aside. Let's establish the nationalist right-wing government that the state of Israel is so in need of. So the prime minister turning to the right wing, calling on them to put down their swords, join a right-wing government, and let's move on. Will that happen? Time will tell. Time will tell if, in fact, that happens. Bezalel Smotrich saying that he would rather go to a fifth election rather than join a government with Mansour Abbas's Islamic Party. So it does not look like Bezalel Smotrich is willing to give in on that point. The Jewish press reported that Smotrich on Friday said he will not so much as entertain the idea of supporting a government that includes or is even endorsed by an Arab party, saying such a move was the right's suicide. A fifth election is much preferable to this suicide, he tweeted. There is an alternative, and that's a full right-wing government, but instead of making an effort, he'd rather embrace terror sympathizers. I guess he's calling out Netanyahu here. And you know what? Even a hybrid government that I don't think will come to pass, and if it does, it will only last a few months, is better than the destruction of the right and Zionism. So he's willing to put together other forms of government here, other coalition partners, but not with the Re'em party, Mansour Abbas's party, which on one hand says it's willing to sit with Netanyahu, perhaps wants to improve the lives of Israeli Arabs. On the other hand, if you listen to other speeches, still referencing Israel in a negative light, talking about the Nakba and all kinds of things. So at this point, we'll have to see. Netanyahu has, I believe, another week or two, perhaps. I don't have the dates in front of me, in order to put together a government. If not, again, somebody else will get the opportunity, most likely, either Naftali Bennett or Yair Lapid. Now, Hamas, several times over the past week, has decided that they would like a little bit of attention, so they've been firing rockets at Israel again. A rocket was fired Thursday night, another rocket fired Friday night. Yisrael Hayom reports the IDF struck Hamas positions in Gaza on Thursday following terrorist rocket fire in Israel south. The military confirmed over the weekend, the rockets, I believe, both landed in open areas, one near Sderot and another one also somewhere in southern Israel. IDF targeted a munitions manufacturing site, a weapons smuggling tunnel, and a military post. So Hamas, again, needing a little bit of attention for whatever reason. It could be related to the potential upcoming election in the Palestinian Authority. It could be because they just want to force Israeli men, women, and children to run to the shelters whenever they feel like they want to do that. It's been 20 years now, folks, exactly 20 years since Israel has been under rocket fire from Gaza. It started back in 2001, April 2001. Rockets fired at Gush Katif, rockets fired at cities surrounding Gaza, then, of course, rockets fired all the way as north as Tel Aviv and the Gush Dan area over the last 20 years, and it's still going on with Hamas still in power down there in Gaza. Switching gears here, Times of Israel reports the Greek defense ministry signed a 5.4 billion shekel deal with an Israeli air defense contractor for a flight simulation center last week, Israel's defense ministry announced. The move comes as part of deepening ties between Israel, Greece, and Cyprus amid shared concerns over Turkey's increasingly aggressive actions in the eastern Mediterranean. So here you have Israel signing another deal with Greece, this one for military, this one surrounding military and defense cooperation. The countries are talking about the possibility of establishing flight schools in the future. So here you have some positive news, some good cooperation between Greece and the state of Israel. And again, the motivation could be Turkey. Whatever it is, it's still nice to see Israel and Greece coming together and working out military deals. last night, Palestinian Authority head Mahmoud Abbas sent in a recorded speech to the annual J Street National Conference. So once again, this organization, which claims to be pro-Israel, pro-peace, hosted the leading head of Pay for Slay. That's who Mahmoud Abbas is. He's the head of the Palestinian Authority, which runs a multi-million dollar, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars in rewards and incentives for terrorists and their families. That's who Mahmoud Abbas is, but at J Street, he's a hero. His pre-recorded marks played in front of 4,000 attendees at the first day of the annual J Street conference, and I just saw online the different things he said. He didn't say anything new, anything different, really. I mean, he just wants Israel to be destroyed. He didn't say that openly. He didn't say he would stop paying terrorists. He talked about Israel becoming an apartheid state and calling on the Biden administration to state that the PLO is not a terror organization. Nothing really new from Mahmoud Abbas, but it's... The most disturbing thing is the fact that J Street gave him a microphone, gave him a platform. Of course, nobody questioning how or why Mahmoud Abbas still supports pay for slay, arrests minorities, journalists, has embezzled hundreds of millions of dollars for himself, for his family, discriminates against minorities, the whole deal. But for an organization that can calls itself, you know, left wing, okay, he doesn't really represent the values of the left wing, but to J Street, he's the darling. He's the darling of the group there. So, I mean, that's where that group stands, and it's just pretty crazy, folks. There's some craziness going on here in the world, and just another example of it is the J Street National Conference. Yisrael Hayom reported, here's another related article, Ofer Kassif, the lone Jewish lawmaker representing the Joint Arab List in Knesset, he referred to Palestinian security prisoners as political prisoners, in a post on Facebook marking what is known as Palestinian Prisoners Day. Not exactly sure what that day is all about. I guess praising terrorists, I guess that's really what it is. But he doesn't call them terrorists. He calls them political prisoners. I mean, we're talking about some of the worst murderers the state of Israel has ever seen. Nevertheless, he categorizes all of them as political prisoners. And he is an MK, I guess the only Jewish MK who is part of the Joint Arab List. Just an unbelievable phenomenon. Also, failing to admit that these people are... A lot of these people are terrorists, and that's why they're in jail, and they're not political prisoners. I saw CNN and Christiane Amanpour refer to Marwan Barghouti as a political prisoner, this mass murderer. CNN, and they were called out by the organization Honest Reporting, which monitors the media, asking why does CNN refer to a convicted terrorist murderer as a politician or an activist, I believe they called him. Again, just some craziness out there in this world of ours. Finishing with two positive stories here. First one here from the Jewish Press. For the first time, melanoma can be diagnosed automatically in real time. An innovative optical technology that can distinguish between different types of cancer. Melanoma, which is considered extremely deadly, has been developed in the laboratory of Professor Abraham Katsir from the Raymond and Beverly Sackler Faculty of Exact Sciences at Tel Aviv University. The diagnosis is rapid, non-invasive, and causes no pain to the patient. Technology was tried successfully on about 100 patients in a major hospital in Israel. Findings were published in the Journal of Medical Physics. Another example, and we have these folks, if you've been listening to this podcast, each and every week, Israel contributing to the world through different... in all different arenas, and in this case, in the battle against cancer, with a new technology which detects melanoma, skin cancer. And as I say every week, if you are a BDS Israel hater, do not use this technology or you are a hypocrite. Don't use it. When this is made available to the general public, diagnosing melanoma, saving lives with this immediate diagnosis, do not use this, folks, if you are a BDS hypocrite Israel hater, okay? That's that. And finally, in the world of sports, Times of Israel reports that Israeli judokas, if I'm saying that correctly, those who compete in judo, snagged a silver medal and two bronze medals at the European Championships on Friday and Saturday. Tohar Butbul won a silver medal after making it to the finals. He lost his final bout in the under 73 kilogram category. Afterwards, Sagi Muki, I believe Sagi Muki was a world champion at one point, an Israeli judoka. He picked up a bronze medal in the under 81 kilogram category. A day earlier, Geffen Primo, victorious to claim another bronze in the, this is a woman, in the women's under 52 kilogram category. So Israeli judo athletes making the headlines, claiming medals in Europe. It's a beautiful thing to see. They were sent congratulatory remarks by President Ruvi Rivlin for their achievements in wonderfully representing the state of Israel, coming back home with several medals. Israel does great, by the way, in judo. Israel's like one of the top countries in judo in the world, if you were not aware. Have done very, very well at international competitions and the Olympics and whatnot. Because we're Jews and we're strong, okay? Maybe we should send some of these judokas to monitor what's going on the streets of, I'm just joking, but the streets of Jerusalem and Jaffa. If these people were walking around and some of these Arabs wanting to get on TikTok with their anti-Semitic violence, maybe if they mess with the wrong guy, mess with one of these judo guys, things would end a little bit differently, because we are strong and we don't have to take any of that. And I'm going back to the original topic, which I started with, because it's so infuriating. We don't have to take any of this nonsense on the streets of our cities, where Jews are faced with anti-Semitism on the streets of Jerusalem and Jaffa and other places as well. Not acceptable, folks, and we don't have to take it. Anyway, that's it for today. My name is Josh Haston. This has been another edition of Israel Uncensored on the Land of Israel Network at thelandofisrael.com. It is really hot out there, folks, here on this Monday, April the 19th, 2021. We are in the midst of a heat wave. In Fahrenheit, it's over 100 degrees. Different places throughout the country, that's 40 degrees Celsius plus. Here in Israel, I think it's going to break at some point this evening or tomorrow by Tuesday. But if you're listening to this and you're in Israel, drink a lot of water today because it is crazy, crazy hot. Stay inside, stay indoors, put on the air conditioning. I know it's only April, but you want to stay hydrated and you want to stay safe. That's it, folks. Thanks to Binyamin Bresky, engineer extraordinaire, Tabitha Epstein, for everything she does behind the scenes here at the Land of Israel Network. Again, get in touch with me during the week, josh@thelandofisrael.com, Facebook Joshua Haston or Josh Haston, Israel Advocacy and Journalism on Twitter @Josh Haston, and on Instagram as well. Everyone out there in the wonderful, wonderful world of ours, be safe. Shalom, shalom from Gush Etzion, Judea, just south of Jerusalem, the eternal capital of the state of Israel and the Jewish people. Have a great week, everybody. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, my name is Jeremy Gimpel. A few months ago, we started an online seminar teaching life-changing biblical wisdom revealed from the original Hebrew and straight from the mountains of Judea. With global instability on the rise, more and more people are turning to God, realizing now they don't exactly know where to look for guidance. The Bible says the guidance will come from the land of Israel. What started as an online seminar has grown into a global fellowship with hundreds of members from over 30 countries. We are participating in fulfilling prophecy. as we learn the Bible through the eyes of prophecy, with a focus on what it's telling about us in our lives today. What you will discover is that the wisdom transmitted thousands of years ago is speaking directly to us in our time right now. Instead of learning the Bible as a religion, it's the Torah of Israel, the living guidance of God. So please join us for our next online gathering and get access to the full library of teachings that the Land of Israel Fellowship is offering. Join now and get an audio series on the prophecy encoded in the book of Joshua, absolutely for free. Just click on the link below or email fellowship@thelandofisrael.com. I don't know how you found this video or what compelled you to click on that link, but I don't believe in coincidence, and I would encourage you to take the next step on your journey toward the Land of Israel. I hope to see you at the Land of Israel Fellowship. Shalom.